Hello, and welcome to You Will See, a podcast from a foster, adoptive, and biological mom. I'm your host, Maisha Murray. I'm sorry it has taken me so long to get a podcast out. I feel like I have podcast block, you know, like writer's block. I am stuck. I keep trying to make this episode, and every time I do, it just seems wrong or off, so I'm starting over again. This episode is really hard, I think, especially because it comes from a vulnerable place, and I'm asking that you're patient with me. I think I'm going to have to do more than one episode on this topic, but for now, I just wanted to talk about my own personal experience that has helped me to understand this and has recently changed me a lot and changed the way that I look at other people in general. There is so much judgment in this world. It's constant. If you've been on Facebook, notice you could write one thing, and because you can only write a short paragraph about something about your life or something that's going on, or even a few paragraphs, it doesn't cover the whole situation, and people immediately jump to snap conclusions. And sometimes these conclusions are judgmental and a little bit harsh in the way that they talk back to this thing that you've said. And I've seen this phenomenon happen over and over and over again. And I do think it's interesting to notice how many times a day I even have these snap judgments, because I don't really see myself as a judgmental person. But I've noticed that even just walking in the grocery store, my brain starts formulating these judgments about people. And it's more of like a reflex. Like I'll see something going on and I'll instantly perceive it in a certain way without really understanding the backstory of how something occurs. I don't really have that understanding of anything, really. We don't have a full understanding of how things come about. We don't have a full understanding of how people come about. We don't know their backgrounds, and yet we make these really quick conclusions. So I want to start this episode off with the preface that I think that we all, first of all, are judgmental towards other people. And I think that that's part of a reflex that we have. It's important for us for survival because we need to protect ourselves. We should have judgment for ourselves, but that doesn't mean that we should be judging other people. And we need to kind of check ourselves on snap judgments that we immediately make about anybody else. I think it helps us to feel better about ourselves, to look at someone else and say, oh, they don't have their life together. At least I'm doing this and this and this in my life. We also do the opposite, where we're like, oh, that person, they have their whole life together. They're wearing this beautiful outfit that is neatly pressed, and they have this shiny hair that is perfectly straight and all of their makeup on every day. They must have this perfect life. We don't really understand where they're coming from. So I actually looked into it, and we all have this immediate judgment that we make, and we tend to put people in categories within the first few minutes of meeting someone. And it is really hard for people, once they are stuck into those categories, to get out of those categories ever in your mind. We tend to judge someone very quickly on their first impression. And I don't know about you, but I make awful first impressions. I think myself in that impression too, because I'm kind of a quieter person by nature. I like to observe first, but then I stick myself in that introverted box. Like, now I'm an introvert to this person, so I better stay that way. I'm never going to talk. I'm never going to be open. I'm not going to be the funny person that I am. I'm not going to be a talkative person. When I do talk, I tend to get nervous and I say really dumb stuff. So of course, from then on, they're going to be judging me as quiet and dumb. I stick that in my own head and it makes me say more dumb stuff. And the cycle just continues on and on. And I don't know how many people in this world think of me that way. And maybe it's just me. I don't know. But I have caught myself doing that to other people as well, where I will put them in this introverted category or extroverted category, instead of thinking I should get to know this person a little bit better before I stick them in one of those categories. And I think one of the biggest applications of this in foster parenting is how we judge the biological parents. Until you have really walked in their shoes and understood their back history and understood everything about them, we really can't put these biological parents into categories. And yet we often do. We often stick them immediately into the category of evil. We read those news stories about parents who abuse their kids, and we think that those are all of the parents that have lost their children. That if they have done something to lose their children, that must mean that they are evil, awful people. And when we stick them into that category, I think it gives us the excuse that we need to say, These are my children now. They should never go back home to those people because they're evil and they will just hurt them. And I think that is something to protect ourselves. And I also think it's something to prevent ourselves from feeling that heartbreak that we're trying to avoid. Because if we know that they have to go back home to these parents, it affects our pride a little bit. We want to say we're the better parent. We have everything set up for these children. They should stay with us. That sets these kids up a lot for confusion and for failure. And it sets us up for failure and for heartbreak. Being a foster parent is about reunification. It's about putting families back together. And we have to see around our own pride and around our own judgments and around our own habits of labeling people before we're going to be able to help these children for real. These children need their biological parents. They have already created a bond with them. Many of these biological parents were good parents at some point or another. Some of them were great, normal people. They were the best parents. They created that bond with them. They constantly responded to them as babies, and they created this natural, loving connection with these children. And then something happened in life to mess that up. I've read a lot of stories about different biological parents in the world. And from what I can see, a lot of these parents got their children taken because of mental illness as the root cause, or because of poverty as a root cause. And children are never taken because of poverty, meaning that as long as the parents are doing their absolute best to give their children what they need, they won't be taken from their home. Poverty is not a reason. Neglect is. So let's say the parents have access to food and water for their child, and they choose to buy drugs instead. At that point, the children need to be taken out of that situation. And that's a pretty common misconception, that children are taken because parents can't afford food or water. That never should be the case. I'm sure there are flawed people out there who make that the case, unfortunately. I'm sure it happens, but it's, from what I can tell, very rare that a child would be taken for that reason. The most common reason why a child is taken is because of neglect. So all those news stories that you read about children that are hospitalized because of abuse or tortured, where their parents intentionally hurt them, those are the very rare case. And that's why you hear about them in the news. There's 100,000 children in foster care that you've never read about in the news. That's the point that I'm making, not the exact numbers. Please don't take that number literally. But the point is, we only read so many stories in which a child is abused. And yet there's all these other children that are there that were not newsworthy cases, which means that a lot of the biological parents out there are struggling with things like drugs, depression, other debilitating mental illness. Their problems are very different than what most people perceive them to be. It's really important for us to stop before we put them in that box of this is an evil abuser. We need to start by understanding their perspective. And something that really helped me recently to understand this was that I went through a very severe bout of postpartum depression. I have had anxiety and depression my entire life, but this hit me so different than any other anxiety and depression I've ever experienced. This took over my life and my body and who I was entirely. I went from being the type of parent that never spanks her children, never yells at her children. I am very logical. I try to use good techniques. I read parenting books. I've read so many things about how to parent your children. I do not believe in corporal punishment. I do not believe that yelling will ever actually get the results that you want. And yet I became this instantly angry parent, and I could not stop it. I could not stop myself from having tantrums like a two-year-old, where I would lock myself in my room and just kick and hit the bed for a good 10 minutes so that I could be calm enough to face my children. I would dig my nails into the palm of my hands whenever my children would do something just natural that children do. It's not their fault, and I knew that logically, but I was angry, and I seriously had no control over that anger. I'm lucky though, because I've read all the parenting books and I have a therapist and I have so many resources. I'm studying psychology in school right now. So I know that if I'm mad, I should lock myself in a different room for a little while. The kids will be okay. They'll survive. It's still sad because they'll sit out there and they'll want me. They'll knock on the door. They don't understand why mommy is mad. They don't understand why mommy went from being this calm person to this insane, angry person. They're confused by that. But the best thing for them in that moment is if I set them with a screen, I go in my room and I throw that tantrum. I let it all out. I let myself cry. I scream into a pillow so I don't yell at my kids. I know that that is a better reaction than being out of control near them. And I have education and resources to be able to know that that's what I am supposed to do. Lots of other people, especially these biological parents, have never had the resources or the education to know what to do when they are angry uncontrollably. On top of that, some of them do not have a room or a screen. They don't get to just lock themselves in another room so that they can scream into a pillow, because their room is their motel that they are surviving in, or the homeless shelter that they are surviving in with their however many kids. Can you even imagine going through postpartum depression, not knowing what it was, feeling angry, feeling all of these unforeseen things that are not you? You feel like you're not yourself anymore at all. You don't have the financial resources to care for your kids. You're under all of this stress and pressure. And then on top of that, maybe there's other mental illnesses involved. Many of these biological parents have other disabilities such as borderline personality disorder, bipolar disorder, clinical depression, so many things that they're dealing with. So many of these parents are single moms. I know of several instances in which the mom was pregnant as a teenager, and that is not a great start to life. And then on top of that, they were married off to an adult abuser. They were taken from family and friends. They were taken from all of their resources and expected to be a good mom. And they probably did their absolute best that they could. They probably fought every day against themselves and against whatever circumstances they were given for their children, and eventually got to their brain where they just kind of snapped. And I never had understood that feeling of snapped until I had this postpartum depression. Not only was I angry, but I was contemplating things that I never thought I would even think. My faith was affected, and I have always had a very strong belief. I know that God is real for myself. During postpartum depression, I could not feel the spiritual feelings that I usually easily connect with. I could not feel anything sometimes. I wanted to quit going to church. I wanted to quit believing in God. I had what I thought was logical reason to quit believing. And it was because of the way that this depression was infecting my brain. I have to give a trigger warning here. If you're sensitive to depression or suicide, you might want to skip over for the next couple minutes. During this depression, for the first time in my life, I started coming up with these plots and these plans. It almost felt like this relief. I started hurting myself. And that was the weirdest thing, because I always saw that as kind of immature. I think I labeled that in my brain as, you know, that kid in high school that always was so emotional. You know, they called them emo when I was in middle school. I always kind of judged those kids as immature. I was always thinking, why would you do that to yourself? That's so dumb. And I never ever thought that I would be one of those people. And yet I was digging my nails into my skin. I learned from my therapist the technique to hold ice in your hand and just let yourself feel the pain of that ice until it melts. That was my coping mechanism for a little while, but I never thought I'd even need that, especially because I am a generally positive person. I understand that life is sacred and valuable, and I love life most of the time. But when that postpartum depression infects your brain, you don't think with sanity. You don't think with clarity. I was not clear or sane in those moments. I did not want to continue life. And I knew that that was illogical. So my logic kept me going. The knowledge that this would not last forever kept me going enough to reach out a little bit. And I found some solutions. I found help from some friends and support. If we had coronavirus 100 years ago, like they had that, I think it was the Spanish flu. I'm sorry if I'm saying the wrong thing. But I don't know how I would have survived that, because I wouldn't have had this resource to reach out to people so that they could connect with me. I relied a lot on others, and I had awesome, amazing experiences where people reached out to me without me even asking, where they saved me and they didn't even realize, because they brought up things from my past of moments where I'd connected with God. And it was a huge reminder to me that I know that there is a God. And I'm not saying this to convince anybody else that there is a God. I just want you to understand what things helped me to move forward. And the biggest thing was having a community of friends and support. Because I had other people in my life, I was able to move forward and do a little bit better every day. I wasn't fixed. I wasn't cured. I still had really hard battles every day with myself. I still don't feel like me. That's why it's partially taken me so long to get a podcast out. I still feel this blocked, stuck sensation. I feel so stuck all the time. I don't feel like me. My brain is not working and it's scaring me. I feel like I'm an intelligent person, but I feel like I sound stupid all the time. And every time I try to talk to new people, I'm in a new neighborhood and a new community. I'm trying to make friends, and it's been really hard. There's people that have gone through much harder things, especially these biological parents who do not have this community resource. As a foster parent, you can be their community. You don't just need to support the children. You can be these biological parents' friends, if they let you. Sometimes they don't want any involvement. They blame you. They're dealing with their own stuff and they have to figure out how to cope with having their children taken away. I mean, that would break me. If my children were taken from me, I don't know how I would cope with that. And I think we need to acknowledge that and have empathy for these parents. They all deal with it in different ways. There's lots of complaints that I see constantly on Facebook about biological parents who never contact their children or who don't follow the case plan. It's got to be so hard. They're not just dealing with the case plan. They're dealing with all of their other life circumstances. They're dealing with facing themselves and what they've become through this mental illness, through this lack of resources. They are dealing with so much more than just what you as the foster parent can see. And because of that, they deserve patience. They, as a human being, deserve empathy, even if they have caused those children pain. And I know it's so hard to be forgiving of that because I hate it every single day, every time I see the pain in my son's eyes. I am so angry. And that is a justified and permanent anger that I will always have. I am so mad about what happened to him. I spend so much time every day trying to reverse the effects of that. And I feel hopeless and helpless sometimes. But I can also feel angry that the biological parents of my child also had nobody and also had no hope and no resources and no community. I can be that community for them. I can find a way to separate those two feelings. I can still be angry about what happened to him. That's okay. But I can also try to do the best I can to connect them together and to help them heal and to help this other person that I have grown to love become better in her life. It is a wonderful and rewarding thing when you can reach out to these family members and help them right along with your foster kids. Foster parenting is more about just being a parent to these kids. It's about becoming a community with people that you would have never interacted with outside of your comfortable life. Being a foster parent is not comfortable. Forgiving the biological parents of the children that are in your care is not comfortable or easy, but I believe it's necessary. And there are cases in which I don't know that I would be capable of forgiving, such as those that end up in the news where children are abused cruelly. I don't know that I would be able to get to an understanding because I don't understand that. I've never experienced being so far gone that I was willing to take my anger out on a child. I don't understand. I also believe that no parent ever becomes a parent thinking that they're ever going to get to that point. And I don't think any person grew up bad. I think it's very, very rare. Maybe in the case of like what's commonly known as like a psychopath, where they really cannot feel things for others. They cannot feel compassion. I mean, they still have logic, but they need intense therapy to be able to not hurt people. But I think that that is very, very rare. So what made that person become this evil, abusive monster? I don't think that they just woke up that way. I don't think that they just decided that they were going to hurt their children. I think a lot of it comes down to mental illness, not having resources. And I'm not saying that we should excuse it and say like, okay, well, you were abusive because you have mental health issues, so we should give you your kids back. I'm not saying that. children definitely need to be protected. If they're not living in a safe place, they need to be removed. But we can help build a safe home for them to go back to, if that's going to be possible. And sometimes the judges don't see exactly what's going on, and they forgive quickly, thinking that these people have changed, and they're going to send the kids back no matter what you do, even if they're not ready. So knowing that, we can do every single thing that we can to prepare these kids to be able to fight in life with what they've been given. We can prepare the biological parents in any way that we can to try and make that situation better. Because we don't get a say in whether or not they go home. That's up to a judge. And sometimes judges are human and make the wrong call. So as foster parents who get this opportunity to interact with these parents, we can do the absolute best that we can to ensure that they're going back to a safe situation. We can be the difference in so many lives. Not just the children that we take. We can be the difference in a parent's life who never intended to be anything more than great. And how amazing is that opportunity that we can change multiple lives? And sometimes that's through adoption. Sometimes these kids will never be able to go back. Sometimes mental illness is just too much. Sometimes drug addiction is too much. And they're not going to be able to get over that enough to where they can safely take their children back. And then we can still provide a connection so that they can interact safely, so that these children can have as much love and care as is possible. We can help these parents to learn how to be parents. We can help give them the knowledge and resources that they need. If there's anything else in the world that we can give, at the very least, we can give empathy and compassion. We can understand that we have not walked in their shoes. We have not been in a place where we have felt something so strong that we cannot control ourselves. I do not believe that I was choosing to be angry. I chose to find a way to cope with it. I desperately sought out therapy. I desperately sought out ways to fix it. But some people don't have that training. They don't have that mindset to even know how to reach out. They think that they are hopeless. They think that there is no chance that they can ever change it. So they just cope with it until they can't anymore. We as a society could change that. We could reach out to people in our own community. We could find people who need us. And I'm not saying give them money or give them stuff. I'm saying we could be friends with that single mom. We could be friends with that mom who just went through a divorce. We could watch their kids while they go to work. We could bring them meals. We could see that family that we think is this perfect put together family, try to get to know them instead of being intimidated by them. Really get to know them and see what they need too. Everybody needs friends. There has to be somebody out there who needs you right now. Who in your life could you reach out to make their life a little bit better? We as a community could make humanity better. If I had more friends around me, someone that I could go to immediately, I feel like things would have been a little bit better. And I had lots of resources and friends and people that I could reach out to, but it was hard being in this new neighborhood where I didn't have anyone to really turn to. I don't really blame anybody else. We've all kind of been in our own place because of coronavirus. But there has to be a way that we can make sure that everyone is covered. It can start with the youth. Can you mentor someone in their youth so that they have the proper resources to become successful adults? I feel like as a parent, sometimes my kid will not listen to me no matter what I do. All of my kids, from the time that they're babies to teenagers, they think that they know better and they're not going to listen to me. But they respond better to mentors and people in their lives outside of parents. So who can you be that mentor for? Who can you reach out to? Is there a youth program somewhere? Can you teach them something? Can you tutor? Can you do something to help youth so that they have the education and resources that they need to become responsible, great adults and to be able to be prepared to deal with struggles and mental illness and things that they're going to face sometime in their life? I don't know exactly what way it would be dependent upon your individual life, but if I were you, I'd start looking into it. Start looking for somebody that you can help. I definitely think I'm going to have to talk about this a lot more, about supporting biological parents and why, but I think this was a good introduction. I'm definitely going to try to get some interviews. Thank you for listening. Thank you for not judging me for being an angry parent. There's so many things that I said I would never do as a parent, and I've discovered that there's reasons why other people do those things, and it's harder than what I used to judge it as. So I'm grateful for this opportunity that I've had to learn to be less judgmental of other people and to be more empathetic and tolerant. I hope that as you experience challenges, it will prepare you and help you to help others. Thanks for tuning in. Please leave a review or a comment if you enjoyed this episode. I guess enjoyed isn't necessarily the right word. If you learned something, if you connected, leave me a message. Write something on Facebook for me. If you like this podcast, please share it with others. Tune in next time to You Will See.